Hey, sister girl. So we're back with another interview, and this time we have my girl, Nako. I mean, she have published over a dozen books. She has her own podcast, her own newsletter that's, like, amazing. And so we want to get into it. So what's up, Nako?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I've been trying to get you on the show for a minute, but I was just like, we got to get our schedules to sync.
Yes, Lord, yes.
So tell everybody a little bit about yourself, how you got started in writing, where you're from, and just, you know, what made you say, you know what, I'm going to start telling stories.
Okay, I am Nako. I am 25 years old. I'm born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. I attended college at Jackson State in Mississippi, which is where I started writing. It was my senior year of college, and I was, well, should have been preparing to start applying to law school, but I started actually writing a book about a lawyer who was married to a kingpin, and before I knew it, the book was almost 180,000 words, and I was like, wow, I should submit this, and randomly submitted it to a publisher. He hit me back not even an hour later and was like, I want to talk to you, and the book came out, I think, 4 months later, hit number one. I wrote like 13 more books. I should have been preparing for graduation. And I kind of was just like, yeah, I think I'm done with school. So unfortunately, I dropped out, moved back home to Atlanta, and I've been writing ever since. And that was almost 5 years ago.
Wow. 50
books later, 27 number ones. Here I am. College dropout.
Oh, you, I mean, you're a college dropout, but that's a way to drop out. You know what I mean? You drop out.
Yeah,
I know.
I really do. So
if you went back to school, what would you be interested in getting your degree in? Because you said law school. So what was you?
I'm too close to being done. So to me, it'll be stupid if I was to start over. Mm. I have literally one semester left. So I think I would still continue with the political science, a minor in Spanish. I just think I'll just get it. Not even if I don't use it, just know I'll have it in my back pocket.
That's definitely true. So what made you go to be an indie author? Because you said when you first started writing, you were signed to a publisher. So what made you say, you know what, I'm going to drop that and I'm going to go indie and I'm going to do my own thing?
I actually went back and forth twice. So the first time I left my publisher, it was very prematurely, impulsive decision. I did not know what I was doing. I did not ask enough questions prior to going indie. And so when I first went indie 4 years ago, it wasn't nearly as many independent authors as it is now. So the realm of support wasn't as big. And so the second time I went independent, I told myself, if I have to either figure this out or I'm done writing. And so I took classes and I learned as much as I can, not only about the business, but about perfecting my craft. And it's been great ever since. I don't ever see myself signing another contract if it's not with the traditional publishing house.
I feel you, because once you learn business, you got it. You don't need to...
Yeah,
you know.
I had to learn, and you have to not be afraid to ask questions. And thankfully, the community that I'm a part of, the independent authors, everyone is so supportive. You can hop in inboxes and ask as many questions as you want to, and that's what I love the most. Like, they're not going to leave you hanging. You won't get weary on this journey. It's too many of us to help. Help you, keep you uplifted. So that's a good thing.
I feel that. And so for your genre, you typically write urban and urban romance. Am I correct me if I'm wrong? So how did you like navigate towards that? What made you say, you know, I want to do urban romance and not like straight black romance or, you know, any other genre?
I think with me, I love a good love story, but I also like an edge. So I was trying to go straight romance, but it was so cheesy to me. And I just really couldn't figure out exactly where my niche was. And I kind of just, to me, created my own lane. So I kind of call it urban contemporary fiction because my female characters are such strong black women. They're typically, if not degree, they own a business of some sort. It's just the guy that they fall in love with. I love a bad boy. I love a thrill. I love a dangerous, alluring chase. I tried romance. I tried straight urban. And I was like, I just want to mesh the two, like into a perfect love story. And so I feel like that's what I've done, especially in the past year.
Yeah, I think you've done it well, too. I think that is the element that I actually gravitated towards your books too, because I do everything that you said. I like that when reading. So that was one thing that stuck out to me because it wasn't all just straight, like I would say straight urban, but it had that romantic element to it, and it was contemporary.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, this is something I could vibe to.
Yeah.
So when you're writing, right, you always talk about, like, writing is your therapy, and you're building, like, these characters, and you're, you know, sometimes they might be in a great space, sometimes they might be in a sad space. How do you make sure that you continue writing when you're not there emotionally, but your characters might be, like, you know, super duper in love, and maybe you're not happy, or they're super duper sad, and you're like, I'm in a good mood. How do you put yourself in that? How do you write that?
The day I figure it out, I will. I'm actually finishing up a book now, and it took me so long because I was going through something, and I've been working on this book since May, and I consider myself a speed writer. I can write a book in 2-3 weeks, but it's August, and I'm just now hitting chapter 10 of this book, and it's because I can't write when sad, which is weird because writing is my therapy, but I found myself killing, like, every character in the first few chapters of the book, and so I told my team, I was like, I need to pause this book and get myself together, because if not, my readers are going to pick up on my energy, and the goal of this book isn't to be a sad, heavy book. And so with writing being therapy, I just made me a bomb playlist, and I pushed through, and through the writing I now feel better, so now the book is back on track to where it should be. But music is what keeps me sane. Some people don't write to music. I don't even see how they can't, because whatever song is on, that's the vibe I'm giving in the book. So now I begin to add playlists to all my novels, because I want my readers to, you know, go on this journey with me.
So with so many books that you've actually already published, how do you keep creating new storylines and not, like, becoming redundant? Because I think that's something I'm always amazed by, especially when, like, authors like you have published so many books. It's just like, well, dang, how do they not become repetitive, or this character sounds like this character? How do you keep each character fresh, each story fresh and new?
I think traveling, I'm an avid traveler. I'll actually be in New York. I need to text you. I'll be there next week for Black Girls Rock. But traveling, a lot of travel, and I don't believe that we meet strangers. So I've had some of the best conversations of my life in the grocery store, in the mall, in the parking lot, at the coffee shop. I'm always eager. If you want to smile at me, I'm going to talk. And so I go home and I take what I've learned. I take what my friends are going through. I take what I hear in meetings and also podcasts, audiobooks. I don't watch much TV. If I do watch TV, I'm binge watching something. But I'm just taking life's experiences from everyone. Everyone is a character to me. And I'm putting it in a book. And I try my hardest to stay fresh. I don't ever want my readers to feel as if every book that they're getting is the same as the exact one. At the same time, when you have a bestseller, it's kind of like, dang, I need to give them that same vibe from that last book. But like you said, you try to do that without sounding redundant. So it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that I feel like most authors should want to take.
So you did say that, you know, once you have a book that is a bestseller, that you're just kind of like trying to give off that same vibe. So when you're writing and you do have a book that goes really, really well, and you have maybe another topic that's kind of like total opposite of it, what do you do? Do you write the book that you want to write, or do you continue on the path that you know that readers are really going to, like, you know, they're going to grab hold to it? Because I can see that being a conflict.
Unfortunately for me, I have to write what I feel, and I can't write based on the market or based on what I feel like they want at the time, because then it'll sound forced. And the fact that I write full time, this is all I do every day, all day, I don't want to feel like I'm working. So if I was to write something that I know will hit, like, I try to write without the number one in mind or without the money. And as I'm writing, I'm just asking God, continue to guide my thoughts, continue to let these words flow from me. And then when the book go to edits, I pray again. And then when the book comes back from edits, I pray again. And then when the book drops, I'm just like, God, I'm leaving this book in your hands. So I like the element of surprise and shock when the book does hit number one, because it's like, okay, I trusted myself, I trusted my gift, and in return, my readers trusted me, and they made the book hit number one. So that's pretty much what I do. I just have to write from such an organic place. So it works for me.
I appreciate that, because I think that's something that, you know, anytime you get positive feedback in one area, it can just make you want to say, you know what, I'm going to keep writing where the positivity is coming from, and not kind of take that, you know, not write for yourself. So I always think
I was so tempted to write write an Issue the Reason Part 2, mm-hmm. but I wrote the book with standalone in mind, and so the reviews were like, we need more, and I just was like, what else is there to give? Yara was in her late 40s, mm-hmm. I didn't see her having any more children, mm-hmm. I didn't have a connection with her kids to give them a story, and so I was so tempted to write a part 2 just because I'm like, oh, it's going to be a big check, oh, they're going to kill it, but I had to follow my heart, and I had to just tell myself that God has more in store for you. It's not a part 2 to Issue the Reason. The book was meant to be one book. Like, it just was.
And that book is such a dope book. Sister Girls, if you haven't read it, please read Issue the Reason. It's so good. And it was thick. It was a thick read, too. So,
yeah.
What is one subject or topic that you would absolutely not write about? And what is one genre that you would like to try?
I will not write paranormal. It's not my thing. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that it's so much money in that field right now for black authors, but I can't do it. I just can't. I am really interested in getting into interracial romance, which is crazy because I was at the Indie Love event, and this is the question that they asked me, and the entire audience was like, no, we hate interracial romance. And I was just like, when it's done right, it's so good. I love Mallory Monroe. She's my favorite IR author. So I really want to get into IR. I think it'll be interesting.
I think that'll be interesting, too, especially with your spin on it and your take. I think it would be like a fresh...
Yeah, I'm like the college girl with the man. I can see ideas. I would love to do IR, and I've been reading a lot of young adult fiction as well. You just got to take it slow with YA, so I'm kind of like, I don't really know about, because I like writing sex scenes, so I'm like, the YA is so soft, I don't know, I'll have to see.
But you could do it. I feel like, because YA, is anybody like, I feel like 2019, well, whatever, I ain't going to get into it, but have you ever felt, because that's going to be like, well, Cherie said, no. Have you ever felt unsure about a book after you published it? Like, you were just like, well, I don't know if readers are going to get this, and was it received well by readers? And if not, what did you do differently for the next project?
Girl, is she the reason? I doubted that book so much. One, I took a song as a title, and I was like, I'll never do that because I always seen, you know, readers make statuses about authors lacking originality and creativity by taking song titles. I was scared about that. I did the cover myself on Canva. Mm-hmm. So I was scared about that. And the story, you know, Yara, I was so scared. And before I knew it, the book hit number one, and it sat at number one for so long. Mm-hmm. And people started, like, hitting me up, like, Sakura Allen, Keisha Irvin, all these big names were like, oh, my God, you know. And I was just like, whoa. And I wrote that book so fast. Like, I wrote that book in a blink of an eye, and so I was just like, it's rushed. I couldn't trust myself enough to believe that it was going to do well, but it did. And I'm still so thankful for what it did. I feel like it's my bestseller and it's my greatest work to this day. So, yeah, Issue the Reason for sure.
Yeah, and that's my book. So how do you, because you did mention, like, you know, a lot of authors hit you up, readers hit you up. So how do you make sure that you stay true to your writing and not get caught up in the comparison web of social media? Because you did mention that it's a lot of authors now in, you know, there's so many new authors that are coming onto the scene and everybody's trying different things, different ways to promote, different ways to market themselves, different stories that they're bringing into the genre. How do you make sure you're like, okay, this is me, this is what I'm trying to do, while also not getting caught up? Because social media is where, you know, a lot of marketing, a lot of business and all that other stuff goes, you know, comes. So you got to be on social media. But at the same time, the catch 22 is just like, it can be overload.
It can be toxic to your mental health as well. Mm-hmm. I always say I'm still very much in my 20s, and so I'm still figuring things out. I'm still human. I'm a Libra, so I'm extremely sensitive. And I get off social media a lot. My friends is like, girl, we'll look up and you're deactivated. it's for my sanity. I write better when I'm not distracted by social media. And like you said, I hate it because I see a difference in everything when I'm off social media. So I was telling my admins of my reading group, even when I'm off, I need y'all to still push and plug everything because I'm getting off to get the book done. At the same time, the way social media is set up, it goes hand in hand with branding and marketing, and I hate it. So that's why I have been so adamant about pushing my mailing list. I'm like, let's get back to the old school ways of y'all finding out about books and finding out about new releases. I am back email crazy, and so I just feel like social media can shut down any day now, and I still need to have a connection built with my readers via my mailing list. And it's hard. And I was just telling my author, Dominique Thomas, the other day, every day I'm waking up and a reader is becoming an author. And so the industry is becoming extremely saturated. Mm-hmm. Not that that's a bad thing, but it's like you kind of like got to keep your head above the water because over 100 books are dropping a week. It's like, how do you keep your book from getting lost in the sauce? So that's another thing. Like I said, I'm a learner first. I'm a student. I'm always trying to come up with new ways to stay original and creative.
Mm-hmm. So what is one misconception that you think readers have about you as an author? Because you talk to your readers a lot. Like, y'all talk like y'all BFFs, which I think is always great because you keep that open communication. So what's one thing that you think they might have it wrong or a misconception?
No, because whenever I meet my readers in person, they're always like, wow, you're like the girls in your books. And I don't think I am, so I just be like, I'll be offended by that. But I don't know. I've met a lot of my readers. I do a lot of pop-ups, a lot of meetups. And they are, my test readers are my readers. So I don't really know if it's I think that could be one. They don't really expect me to be as down to earth as I am. Mm-hmm. They don't expect me to be as cool. Like, I'm turning up. I want shots, too. I love the strip club. So I think that's like when we all came to New York for
Behind the Pen,
I was, like, actually out with them. Like, we went to the museum. We went to eight. And I think that they just thought that they were just going to see me at the event, and that was it. But I'm like, no, y'all booked flights. Y'all got hotel rooms. Like, let's turn up. I'm thankful. Let's have a good time. The event is over. Let's do something.
So you did mention Behind the Pen. Thank you for that nice segue into our independent author sign-in, which takes place in New York. And, which took place in New York in 2018. And that was, I didn't know it was your first author sign-in. I didn't know that until you came. Because I'm like, this girl probably done did a billion of them. You know what I mean? Because I've seen you with your readers. I've seen you in pictures. And I'm like, oh, this would be good. When you told me, I was just like, oh, my gosh. Because, you know, that's what
it is. I wrote a blog on it. I'm going to send it to you. I wrote a whole blog on it. Yeah.
And I was so surprised because I was just like, you know, that's what we always want to get people, you know, out, new authors out there. But also, when you tell us it's your first time that you, like, took a chance on us, I'm always just like, wow, she took a chance, you know? And you were just, like, a natural. Everybody loved you. I remember one of my best friends, she was like, fangirled out. She was like, I read all her books. I've been reading since. And I was just like, go say hi, girl. Go say. She was like, no, she was so cool and so nice. So what made you even want to do the author sign? And that's, like, I had wanted to ask you that for so long. What made you say yes? And then when you got there, you know, what was your experience like, you know, not doing, like, pop-ups or just having your own thing, but being amongst other authors and, you know, just the whole vibe of, you know, coming to a different city. Now you're with, like, 15 other authors. You know, what was your experience like?
So first, I, like, screamed, no lie, when I got the email. I just didn't even think that I had even reached.
Girl.
You know, love Belvenia Force is my favorite author. I love Danielle Allen. So when I saw the thing, I'm like, wow, my name is on here. Like, is this real? And I love New York. My dad is in the music industry, so we're in New York a lot. So I just was like, wow, mama, like, I get to go, you know, for me, not for daddy or for you. Like, for me, we're going for me. So I was just really, really honored. I had a whole group text, an email from my family. We ordered shirts. Like, I sent updates every month. Like, hey, family, it's 8 months in New York. It was a big deal. I don't even know if you noticed, but I had, like, 40 people with me that flew in from everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
I did definitely notice because I was just like, Mako came with everybody.
Not only my family, but some of my readers, it was their first time ever getting on a plane.
Wow.
So it was a humbling moment. I had readers come from Alabama, Dallas, Minneapolis. Like, my readers came from everywhere to support me for this event. And so I was nervous. I always was like, I ordered way too much stuff, but I did well. And when I got there, I ended up having, like, an anxiety attack once I got back to my hotel. I'm going to send you my blog so you can read it. But it was only because it was my first time ever, you know, having the book signing. And so the readers that were coming up sharing their stories, like, oh, you helped me save my marriage, or, oh, you're the reason why I go to church now, or mm-hmm. it was just overwhelming because I'm behind, like you said, the pen, literally. Mm-hmm. And to step from behind my computer and actually meet so many new readers and hear their stories, I was grateful, but I was extremely overwhelmed. But it didn't hit me until I got back to my hotel and I was taking my makeup off. And I had just, like, busted out crying. But I think it was, like, more so tears of gratitude.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I was just like, you know, God brought me, you know, this far for a moment. And so me actually meeting Love Belvin in person, I gave her the longest church hug. Like, oh, my God. And meeting Kira and telling Nia Forrester, you know, you've inspired me to up my writing. She's my favorite author. Really, those three. And so, even the way it was set up, like, Love Belvin's table was first, then Sakura, then me. I didn't take that, you know, for granted either. And so mm-hmm. I just was like, this moment was incredible. And so, like I told you, if the bar ain't up there, I'm kind of like, no, I can't do the events. Like, I'm going to be really, really specific with where I bring my energy to, because energy is everything, and yeah. the vibe has to be right. And Behind the Pen was freaking amazing. Like, it was amazing.
Thank you so much for that. And I'm like, once again, I'm so happy that you came, because, like I said, I didn't know that was your first author signing. And I was just like, wait, what, her first one? And so I was nervous. I'm like, well, did she like it? So I'm happy that you were pleased.
Yeah, I get asked. My email be flooded, but I just be like, one, book signings are expensive, and I just have to really feel like, and my mom's from Jersey, so it worked out because all my mom's family was finally mm-hmm. able to, like, see me in my element. So it was just, like, the best weekend ever. And then the hotel we stayed at, the Tillery in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. They ended up finding out I was an author, and they upgraded my room to a penthouse, mm-hmm. and I didn't have to pay for nothing the whole weekend. So it was just lit. Like, God did everything in his, like, it was just bomb.
Shout out to the Tillery, because I love that hotel. Like, I really like that.
That's where I want to stay next. That's why my mom, like, can we stay the Tillery? That's where I want to stay next weekend when we come up.
Yeah.
I love Brooklyn, period, though. Like, oh, my God.
Well, I'm so happy that you said that. As a Brooklyn born and raised child, we always
you
love.
From Brooklyn?
Yes, of course. To my heart and my soul.
From, like, Staten Island.
No, I definitely am. There's no way. We don't even sound the same when we talk. No shades of Staten Island.
You still live in Brooklyn?
Yes, I still live. There's nowhere else in New York that I would move unless I have a rent-stabilized apartment somewhere else in the fiber. That's the only way they're going to take me out of Brooklyn.
I just told my homegirl, if I just magically decide to move, I'm moving to Brooklyn strictly for the culture.
Yeah.
The art. I just want to be in the mix. Like, she's mm-hmm. going to have it. Got me feeling like I can just move to New York and just live my best life. I really want to.
I think, well, we would be happy to have you. So, getting back to it.
I've been thinking about it. I just bought my house. So it's
oh,
like,
yeah.
Damn,
you
like,
can just come and visit. Know, you can visit us it. A lot. Yeah, because if you just bought a house, that's another undertaking. But you did say that you were, you know, you were amongst other authors. And one thing I noticed about you is that you are a girl's girl. And you are, like, a girl's go-to, I feel like, now for other indie authors as the entrepreneur,
yeah.
because you have your podcast, and you also
yeah.
have the Endless. Your podcast is called Passport. Mm-hmm. It's called the Passport Podcast, where you kind of give, like, a lot of inspirational tips if you want. I would tell people to listen to it, especially other women, even if you're not trying to be an author, but if you're looking for inspiration to keep going, because you have a lot of topics where you talk about, well, if you lost your steam, or how do you get back on when you feel like, you know, I haven't been doing my thing this year, and just giving out those tips. What made you want to go and say, you know what, I don't just want to write books and have stories, but I also want to branch out and talk about, you know, things that are motivational, inspirational, and help other women?
I tell this story all the time, and thankfully I have it on film when I was 5 and about a year ago. So I've always, Harriet Tubman is like my inspiration. You know, most people be like Oprah or whatever, but I love Harriet Tubman, and I love her because she led people mm-hmm. to freedom. And so even at a young age, I've been a leader, and I've always spoke up, and, both of my parents are entrepreneurs, so all I know is hustle and grind mm-hmm. and work. You know, my dad was a millionaire at 18, so mm-hmm. That's all we see. That's all we know. my sister's an entrepreneur, my brother's an entrepreneur, and so as much as I love writing books, I have a true passion for seeing black women win. Mm-hmm. And I believe that through my books, God is opening up other doors, platforms, mm-hmm. and avenues for me to share tips, because we get weary in well-doing, and mm-hmm. every day you don't want to wake up and work on your dream, especially if you're not really seeing nothing come from it. And so through the Passport Podcast, through the Endless, and then I also have Single and Okay, which is every mm-hmm. Wednesday, I send an email to single women. So I'm just trying to, if I can't get you the single way, okay, I'm getting you through the Endless. If I can't get you through the Endless, okay, listen to this podcast. Mm-hmm. If I can't get you through the podcast, I also have a food and travel blog called A Traveling Peach. I'm going to get you any way I can, because I want to shake you and I want to tell you that it's victory. You know, you were born to win. And so that's where I'm at right now. And you know, people have a crab eat crab mentality, and I've seen it happen in this industry. I've had plenty of messages go unread from authors. I'm just asking a question, you know, and mm-hmm. so I never want to be that person. God has blessed me. I'm making six figures every year. I'm surpassing my goals. I bought my house at 25 in cash. Like, I've done great things, so mm-hmm. I'm here to encourage new authors. I'm not saying leave your publisher, but indie is indie. Like, you can do whatever you want to do. So this is where I'm at right now. I'm like, if your spirit is cool, if you're genuine, let me help you, because I'm getting blessed either way it goes. So who am I to be like, oh, no, I can't help you? Mm-hmm. That's not to say in 2020 I would not be charging, because I'm leaving a lot of money on the table with all this free game. So, yeah, I'm working on some stuff. But for now, you can kind of get me, you know, for free.
Well, I'll be calling you. But You stay very positive, even when you're on, like, social media. I've noticed that. And then also to be, you know, young, that's, I don't want to say it's rare, but I can see where, you know, it can be hard to not go off on people, or hard to keep up that positive image, or hard to even just stay encouraged yourself. So when you do have books, and that's like opening the gate for the good reviews and the bad reviews, how do you handle if people didn't receive it well, you know, if you get a bad review, or if you get a message that's not nice, how do you handle that? Or do you read it, or how do you go forth?
I'll never forget. I wrote a book called Point of No Return. It was about a ballerina who fell in love with a drug dealer, whatever. And the book did well, hit number one, boom, boom. And someone made a status tagging me in and saying that I had copied off Securus Allen's work. And at the time, I didn't know who she was. I had never read anything by her. And so I spent, like, the next three nights going through her catalog. I read Devout. I was going crazy. I'm like, this girl is talented. However, my book did not sound like hers. Mm-hmm. And I ended up making this long status, going off, explaining myself. And someone that knew my dad saw it, and he called me. He's a lawyer. And he was like, hey, you know, you're entering a position where you're not going to be able to satisfy everyone. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward another year later, I wrote another book, and people was attacking me. And I ended up reaching out to Love Belvin. I'll never forget. That was one of the best conversations. I don't even know if she even remembers this, but she told me she doesn't check her reviews. She was like, she writes the book, and that's that. And so that's how I am now. I'm not looking for it. I've given my all. Readers want these perfect reads, and I'm like, I have three editors. I'm sorry if a period is missing after three rounds of edits. Plus, I'm reading it again. I apologize. You know, mm-hmm. like, they just be so hard on us, and I'm like, do y'all really think we want to give y'all an imperfect read? Mm-hmm. Like, really? And so that's just where I'm at right now. I don't read them. If I do read them, it's months after I've moved on two, three projects, and I won't be so deeply affected. Mm-hmm. But right after you drop a book, it's like giving birth. I don't want y'all tearing my baby apart, so mm-hmm. I don't even go looking for it. If my team posts a five-star review, like the reviews are random, I'll read that one and be like, oh, that's cute. But mm-hmm. other than that, no, I'm not purposely going on Amazon to check. I don't even check if I'm number one. My team checks, and they notify me because they know how I am. I can't. A one star on the first day, it'll shut my day down. So mm-hmm. I'm human. You know, my feelings hurt. So mm-hmm. I don't even check anymore at all.
I feel you. So what do you do for self-care? What do you do as, you know, an author, a businesswoman? You're young. You have your own life. I think that's one of the biggest things with being a creative, period. Or if you're on social media, if you're an influencer, whatever the case is, if you have something that you're building, there is going to be a moment where you're just like, you know what, I don't want to do this right now, or I don't want to answer this message, or I don't want to write this book, I just want to go have fun. Or somebody in your family might be sick, or you might just broke up with your boyfriend. Anything could happen mm-hmm. where you don't feel inspired to keep going. So how do you, what do you do, I would say, to keep you motivated, to get you back on track?
Born and raised in the church, don't play about the Bible. I'm at church 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. I'm praying at 5. You know, I'm that girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm also in therapy. I've been going to therapy every Monday for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I use my therapist, Dr. Mighty Moore. She's in all my books. Every book I have, I'm using her. She's freaking amazing. And I love to cook. I had my girls over last night for dinner. I love to entertain. I don't bought this big ass house, so I'm having something every week. I don't even care if it's a watch party for Pose. I'm having something. I love to entertain. I love traveling. Me and my mom are really close, so we be gone. And I also have a traveling food blog. So once a week I try to, you know, try a new place in Atlanta and I blog about it. Self-care is important. Self-care and self-love go hand in hand. So I journal. I journal in the morning. I journal at night. I'm really big on devotionals. I love podcasts, YouTube videos. I'm just really in tune with myself right now, thank God. So, you know, when I'm good, everything is good. But it starts with you. It starts with the head.
Yes, and you really love Malik. That's why I was like, oh, she's my friend for real. You my homegirl for real.
Oh, yeah,
real.
I love her. I went to the first retreat. I said I'm going to go to the one next
year. I meant to mention that, too, because let me tell you what happened. This is like, people going to be like, Sheree, you supposed to be interviewing the girl. I had been following Malik since forever and a day, and I'm just like, a lot of people either they know her or they don't know her. It's like one on the other. So one of my good friends in my mastermind group, shout out to Shima, she knows we love Malik, and we were just like, you know, we want to know who's going on the retreat, because we just like, damn, we just wish we knew one person, at least one person we knew that was going on the first retreat. So here I go on the Instagram for the book club, because I have my personal one, I have that one, and I'm like going through the Insta stories. I'm like, hold up, drop the phone, Nako is at the retreat. You don't understand how excited I was that you went. I was just like, well, she went, she deserves it, she's always positive. And I was just so happy. And it's funny, because I thought I was gonna be so jealous that you, like, somebody was there. But then I was like, oh my gosh, she went on behalf of all, like, you know, you just knew somebody who was there. I felt so much joy.
It was nice, you know. Mm-hmm. If you follow my lead, yeah, you know, she doesn't do anything that's not of excellence. So yo, everything was 5-star. The master classes were perfect. Mm-hmm. And what I love the most is that I still talk to about 4 of the girls there, but it's consistent relationships. I just went to lunch with one of the girls yesterday. Another one of the girls, me and her check in once a month, business wise. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate that relationships were built, especially for me that's an introvert. And so I was just telling the girl, like, I'm not makeup. I wear lashes and lip gloss. That's pretty much it. And I'm a leggings and t-shirt kind of girl. I don't do much. Same. And so at the retreat, everybody was dressed up, makeup, red bottoms. And I just was like, I just felt so lost. But every table I sat at, it was one person that I was able to connect with. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody that's introverted and who really doesn't really put themselves out there, I think I did well. So mm-hmm. that's why I tell people, if you got a few extra thousand, apply to the retreat, because it can be life-changing. I didn't go this year, but I think I'm going to go next year. Now that I'm better with networking, I think I can really make some connections happen for the retreat next year.
So how has being an introvert, because you said you mentioned that a couple of times, how has being that now, how are you breaking out of your shell? Because I know a lot of authors often say that. They say, you know, I'm an author, but I'm also an introvert. So with that in my mind, is telling me that you are an author, but when you got to do a signing or when you got to talk to people or do an interview, it can become a task. But that's a lot of what marketing your work is. So do you have any tips for introverts that are also authors who are trying to put themselves out there more, but maybe they get anxiety? Because I think introvert, the word has become very trendy. So people say it and they really don't know what an introvert is, for real, for real. Because I have a friend who's an introvert and I'm like, that's something that's, it's not fun when you need to really do something that requires you to step out.
So now I'm thinking, I wonder, am I introverted or am I just not, I'm just to myself, because I have a lot of friends. And I love to entertain, but I think I'm more comfortable at home. Like, I don't really want to go to a wine bar. I don't really want to meet you for dinner, but you can come over. Like, I'm more comfortable at home, even with the book things, I have more, I'm more open when it's something that I'm hosting. Like, mm-hmm. if I have to go to something, it's kind of like, ugh, like, it's a pull.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Am I introverted?
Well, how have you been able to get out of your house and kind of, like, put yourself out there if you don't consider
it? I went to Elevate her last Saturday, XO Nicole's event, and I was talking, and I was just so surprised at myself. Like, I'm really, like, I'm talking, and I'm passing out my business cards, but I think what's happening is the black girl magic is in full effect right now, and I'm like, I got to start opening my mouth because it's other things I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see Issa Rae, the... I don't know if you've seen Black Lady Sketch Show.
I
but
sure did.
There's a lot going on right now. I need to be in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what it is now I'm forcing myself to come out of my shell. You know, I'm glad you said that. I'm not an introvert. I'm not going to keep saying that either.
Okay.
I'm not introverted.
Well,
not.
See, we done had a breakthrough on this podcast. Let me tell you.
Yeah, because I'm not. I love to talk. Like, I'm not introverted. You're right. I'm not.
Yeah, because I wouldn't say you were introverted, but you said it. So I'm like, well, when people say they're introverted, yeah. Let's talk about it.
I just think that I'm real big on vibes. And mm-hmm. I ain't feeling you. I ain't got too much to say. Like, you'll know if I ain't, you know, you'll know.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you have coming up next? What's in the works? Because you have the podcast, you have the Endless, you have your, you said your food blog where you travel and stuff. You have your own blog. So, what is the plan? Like, is it just to be an author? I'm sure it's not. But is it, like, to have your own retreat? Because I could definitely see that. Your own, what is the plan? Because it's a lot going on and it's moving in a direction that's, a train that's picking up a lot of speed.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, do I hire a manager? I kind of need someone to, I want to lay out all my ideas and my visions and stuff, and I want someone to say, okay, this is what it looks like,
mm-hmm.
and this is what you need to do, because as much as I love writing books, I'm more interested in getting my Ayanna Vazan on, so I'm kind of like, do I start writing self-help? You know, I don't really know, but I read this tweet the other day, and it said that 2019 was all about getting the details finalized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in 2020, we do the work. So mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that's where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to see what I'm doing. I only wrote 3 books this year so far, so I'm like, maybe next year it'll just be 1, and mm-hmm. I'll focus on other things, or maybe mm-hmm. next year it'll be 2. I'm not really sure, but I do know that I have some things that I really, really, really want to do. And I thought it was just going to always be TV and film, but I'm like, I don't even know if it's even that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just really still trying to kind of figure out exactly what direction I'm going into.
Well,
I am finishing up a book, though. It drops next month.
I was just about to say, you definitely said on your, because I follow on your face, I'm like, she definitely said she got a book coming out soon. So.
Yeah, I should be done. I plan on writing all day today. I go to New York on the 23rd, so my goal is to have the book in edits before I get on the plane. So
where do you see yourself in, like, 5 years? Do you see yourself still writing books? Do you see yourself, like, trying to do movies or doing movies or, you know, doing more self-help, doing more of, like, retreats? You know, what do you see? If you had to just put it out there.
Definitely my own network. Mm-hmm. I'm going big, you know, my own network. Definitely my own network. I want to own some restaurants. Me and my dad are about to buy a Subway. So I'm really into real estate right now, commercial properties. 5 years, yeah, Leadership Academy, TED Talks, master classes, stuff like that. Writing books if I feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote 50 books in 4 years, so I'm kind of tired.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. I'm thankful for my gift, don't get me wrong. I just believe that I feel like I'll double back with books when I'm like 40 and I got time. Like, mm-hmm. right now, it's like I have time to do some other things. So that's mm-hmm. where I'm at right now.
I feel you. So before we wrap this up, I always like to do the lightning questions. Basically, this is like a really short amount of questions where you just answer with the first thing that comes to your mind, okay?
Okay.
So what time of day do you like to write, morning or afternoon or evening?
Morning, 7 o'clock a.m. Okay. I'm done by 2.
If you're binge-watching a show, is it on Netflix or Hulu?
Hulu.
If you had to be anything, a radio personality or a TV personality?
Radio.
Own network or Lifetime?
Own.
Martin Luther King or Malcolm X?
Malcolm X.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
What was the last book that you read that was really, really good?
D. Rose. And I hate I don't know the name, Because of Me or something. Mm-hmm. But she's a new indie author that I really feel like we all should support. Mm-hmm. Very talented young lady, for real, for real.
Yes, I actually read her book and I really like it. Okay, so. Yeah, it was good. And last question, who is Nako?
A 25-year-old woman that is becoming, period.
I like that. I like that. Thank you so much for doing this interview. I feel like everybody, whether you love reading, whether you love entrepreneurship, whether you love marketing, they're going to get a lot from this interview. Make sure you check out her podcast. Well, I'm about to drop your own stuff. You drop all your social media and where they can find you.
Okay, my name is Nako. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nako Expo, NakoExpo. If you shoot me a DM, I will personally add you to the end list myself. It is a weekly newsletter that goes out every Friday, and it includes the top 5 things you can spend your weekend doing, whether that's having a drink, making a new meal, or doing something on Pinterest. And all my books can be found on Amazon at Nako. I personally suggest that you start with Is She the Reason? Thank you.
Thank you.